Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, good morning to you on a tremendous early February Tuesday morning, 5 days to Super Bowl Sunday. Welcome to WIP, which, you know, I just heard pregame starts at 4 on Sunday. Seltzer, pregame starts right now.
You're damn right, buddy.
Pregame has commenced, ladies and gentlemen, at 100-something hours. Look, we're looking forward to it. Obviously, Eagles got a great shot to win. Now, what Jeffrey Lurie said about the Boston Celtics, and we'll get to that shortly, a lot of reaction to last night, NFL media night, but also looking ahead to the game itself and the aspects of the game that are very intriguing, of which there are many. Ben Davis in studio with us right now. Good morning, Ben.
Top of the morning to you.
And the rest of the day to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well done.
Who win the Super Bowl in 5 days.
I hear you.
How are you, pal?
I'm okay.
So, Ben, you excited?
Oh, why wouldn't I
be? Isn't this great, man?
Why wouldn't I be?
Isn't this great?
This is just a great week. It's the preparation, the pop and circumstance. Yeah. This is just, it's a great time to be a Philadelphia fan.
Let's talk about the game.
Mm-hmm.
What aspect of the game, or any part of this whole thing, Nick versus Ant, like anything, what intrigues you the most about this matchup?
A quarterback versus a running back.
A quarterback versus a running back. Mahomes versus Saquon.
Yeah.
Best player on both teams.
Yeah.
Different ways to go about doing
mm-hmm.
it. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
And you look at the two different aspects, and it's like, man, one guy is just maybe an all-time great. Well, he is an all-time great. And you look at the other guy, and you're like, this guy has so much to accomplish in 1 year. I mean, you're talking about the best season any Philadelphia athlete has ever had.
You do believe that?
Yes!
Okay, no, I mean, I do, too. I just, look, there are a couple that stand out, and obviously Steve Carlton in 72 stands out. And Will Chamberlain did some Will Chamberlain things, but this is really high up there.
This is off the charts. What this guy has done, I mean, he's transcended the running game in one season. It's something to behold.
Well, you know, it's also, look, I think Patrick Mahomes is the best player in football, and most people say that. But it has become sort of commonplace, at least around here, for people in the last couple of weeks to say Saquon Barkley is the best player in the NFL. And John, I'm not quick to hand him that mantle because Mahomes is Mahomes. I mean, I can't just because I want to say Saquon's the best player,
man,
doesn't mean I'm going to say Saquon's the best player.
He had a better year, though.
Saquon is so, man, it's just such
a completely
about
that, Ben.
Different
because Mahomes
role.
Does a lot with little around him, man. I mean, that offense stinks. And they're back in the NFC Championship, back in the Super Bowl.
I think you go too far with it. Stinks. Hey, they have Andy Reid. He has Travis Kelce. Xavier Worthy is a weapon. Like, I think
Xavier
you're wrong
Worthy
about that.
Really
it's not as good as the Eagles and all that. But
yeah.
I think you do a disservice, and
maybe
I think it's unfair to be like
bit.
They stink. It's a talented offense with the best offensive coach we've ever seen.
Well, yeah. I think that's too far.
What do you mean? Is Andy Reid not the best offensive coach you've ever seen?
No, the talented offense part, I think, is too far.
So, you all, like, Andy Reid has...
This kid ran the fastest 40 ever at the combine.
I don't care.
He's been good. If you watch him, he's a talented player.
Yeah, he's very difficult to cover. He's impossible to run
with. But they're wide receivers as a whole.
And then he's an actual good football player.
Three wide receivers as a whole below average. I mean, that's just the way I size it up.
DeAndre Hopkins
probably
is
like
all-time
average to below
average.
Average
at best.
He's
at best.
Now.
But they have Mahomes.
Well, that's,
and
my,
Kelce,
that's my point.
And
that's my point.
But it's like you say buy a dog, but this guy scares the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Mahomes, like he's superhuman.
I know. I know.
He's ridiculous.
I know. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Ben with us for the next 3 hours. By the way, Jaws, next segment, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Dan in Philly. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, guys. How are we today?
Great, Dan.
So, I'm sitting, Joe, again, did you square away with Amy yet?
No.
What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
Seriously.
Take this. Look, I don't know what to do, Dan. I don't.
It's very clear cut.
I tend to think I will probably be at my brother's. The unfortunate thing is I tend to think Amy will probably be with her group of friends, so it stinks we probably won't watch the game together.
Well, we know you don't know what to do, but when are you going to solve this thing?
Hold
you
on. Like, so does this say something deeper?
Well, that's what I'm concerned about.
John, are you watching with your girlfriend?
I sure hope so.
Have you checked with her?
The thought has crossed your mind.
Yeah, it sounds like John has not thought about it.
She's
so it's Tuesday, Super Bowl week, and England, and nobody has settled plans yet.
I don't.
I do.
Yeah, I'm set.
Pretty remarkable. And we're still waiting on Sylvester Stallone to get here, too.
So. Yeah, well, that ain't going to happen. All right, what do you got, Dan? What do you got on this game, buddy?
Listen, I was sitting there thinking last night. I was watching, like, the Super Bowl week and all the stuff that's going on. Does anybody have any type of concerns about, like, a lot of our team is either a second-year or first-year player? Like, is this going to be too big of a stage? Like, I mean, they played amazing, till this point, but, like, Does the Super Bowl do something else?
It's possible. Like, yeah. Dan, I don't know. I know it affects everyone a little bit different. I know that there are guys who are trying to put their heads through the metal lockers. There are other guys who they've got tears streaming down their face. And there are some guys who are completely unaffected by the enormity of the situation. There are other guys like me who, during the national anthem, it hit me where the number of people who were watching the game, they said it on the news the night before, and that number was just repeating in my head over and over and over.
That's
and
wild.
We're talking about billions.
Yeah.
I got nervous. And then it all went away. So it all went away the moment I got out there on the field and hit somebody. So I hope, Dan, that these young guys, once they get out there, they know it's just like riding a bike. And they'll feel normal again once they can get out there and do what they love and what they're accustomed to doing. That's why Nick tries to keep it all just as concise and the same and normal as what they're accustomed to.
I hope so. I mean, if you think about it, two, four, maybe five of our players were in college watching Patrick Mahomes play the
sure,
Eagles.
Sure, sure. Dan, here's one thing that gives me some solace, because it's an interesting question you ask, but we've obviously seen all four of our teams reach a championship round, a number of times through the years. There's only one that I felt like didn't show up in the championship round, and that was the 97 Flyers. All the other times our teams lost, which was plenty of times, I never felt like they didn't show up. 97 Flyers, the only one I felt like the stage was too big. Hence the coach saying choking situation.
One of the most amazing lines ever.
Right? After game three.
Wow.
We're choking. Now the exact line
Terry
was.
Terry Murray, right?
Terry Murray. I believe the exact line was, this is a choking situation.
Like, well, he was right.
Right, but they still canned him. All right, Dan, give me an answer. Best non-Philly playoff moment ever. Which one is it?
Anybody say the immaculate reception?
No, that's a big one. Well, I hadn't thought of that. That obviously has a shot to win. 1972.
What a crazy play.
Yeah, wild, man. Absolutely
crazy
wild.
Consequences.
Yeah, crazy. All right. Well, let's hope the Eagles break on through to a multiple Super Bowl champion organization.
That was so cheesy.
What's cheesy?
Did you hear? I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I want the Eagles to break through and get more than one.
You got Jim Morrison coming on here. I didn't hate it.
I like the thought.
And Joe's like, sure does.
Sure does.
Sure does.
This is what I do.
The day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
Hammer! Let me tell you something, John. Let me tell you.
I liked it. I'll give you credit.
Does.
I thought it was a yes.
I'm
it does.
With
you're
you.
Right.
Jim Morrison, known Eagles fan.
I would think he would be a fan of the Eagles flying high above
it
all.
Listen, winners root for the Eagles, and losers
Eagles flying over the desert.
Yeah. Seltzer, what did
home and bleep. Yeah.
Sean Connery.
Best line ever in a movie.
It really is one of the
greats. Carla was the prom queen.
It really is a great line. All right, Jeffrey Lurie had to come up with a line last night on this Boston Celtics thing. Believe him or not, at your own discretion. Obviously, we'd heard over the last week that he may be interested in buying the Boston Celtics. We know he's from that area. Here is Jeffrey Lurie last night on that possibility.
I'm not really interested in acquiring another sports team. I think it's connected because, they were my childhood team. I've got a tremendous amount of respect for their whole culture. I sort of see it as like a kindred soul in the NBA. Wick has been an outstanding owner. I love the way they've developed that team. And, we've got to celebrate so many banners over the years. It's not something that's top of mind, and my whole focus is on my love of the Eagles and to win another Super Bowl for Philadelphia, and I'm obsessed, as you know, and that's where it all comes from.
I'll say this. I really hope he's telling the truth. I'm going to leave it there.
I think he's trying to push it off until after the Super Bowl.
I definitely don't think he is. Yeah.
Say it again, James?
I don't think he's telling the truth. I think he's I think right now, during Super Bowl week, he's maybe saying, I'm
this
not
in. This is a question I don't want to answer.
Yeah.
This is a question that if I answer this honestly, it will become a distraction before the biggest
game
of my team's existence.
I'm disappointed if he goes there. I really
100%.
Am.
Like, he's going there,
I'll be really disappointed.
He knows how this town has reacted to Joshua Harris, who we consider an outsider.
Yeah.
You know, Jeffrey Lurie has become part of this community.
No question.
And that will be real disappointing.
Yeah, I'll be really bummed if he does that. So, look, he answered it the way he answered it last night. Make of it what you will.
He looks like he lost weight. He did. He looked very trim. Okay. I thought he did.
All right, good for Jeff. Good for Jeff. All right, let's get to two different Twitter poll questions of the day. Obviously, it's an intriguing matchup. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more. In a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, better defensive coordinator. Is it Vic Fangio or Steve Spagnuolo? Second question, which unit has the greater advantage in Super Bowl 59? Is it A, Mahomes with Kansas City's offense? That obviously includes Reed from a play-calling standpoint. The whole KC offense thing, or choice B, the Eagles' defense? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We'll talk to Jaws coming up in the next couple of minutes. A lot of audio to play this segment, including a great anniversary tribute, which we'll get to shortly. Let's talk to Gary in Whitehall. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Dean. How are we doing today?
Fired up,
Gary.
Fired up. We got a Super Bowl in 5 days.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Yes! Oh, yes! Mark Zumoff approves.
I can't wait. I wish Sunday was here already, Joe. And I'll give you an update on them hours as we go on the week here. But, You know, it's going to be one of them games. You got the matchup.
Hold on, one of them games. What does that mean? Yeah. That did not sound good.
No, this is going to be like one of them old-timers. You got the matchup of Andy Reid, Sirianni, Mahomes hurt.
You're saying buckle up. This thing's going down in the last 2 minutes.
I mean, we're going up against fags. I mean, he'll throw the sink at you and pick it up again and throw it back at you again. I mean,
this
is going to be one of them games. I can't wait. This is going to be punch in your mouth, get back up, and punch you in the mouth again. I mean, let's go. I can't wait.
I'm with you, Gary. All right, Gary, give me a great playoff moment, non-Philly.
1988, Kirk Gibson off of
that's another big one.
Excellent.
Gibson's home run, game one. He's only at bat of that series, incredibly. All right, let's listen to A.J. Brown. Fletcher Cox, he's like Obi-Wan. When Obi-Wan was dead, he was maybe more powerful. John, we loved Obi-Wan.
He was definitely more powerful.
Yeah, he's helping out Luke.
And you're right. Fletcher is similarly more
powerful.
I don't know that he's more powerful.
Right, but still powerful.
He was a powerful force with his bull rush.
But he's still providing leadership for the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen to A.J. Brown last night, media night.
He's not translucent. This is fully opaque Fletcher Cox.
Well, yeah. In this case, we can't actually see him. But we know A.J. Brown's talking about Fletcher.
Yes.
Listen to, and I love this, and I appreciate it, the leadership from Fletcher Cox by way of what A.J. Brown said yesterday.
I just got a text message from Fletcher Cox. He just told me, no matter what you've done up until this point, it doesn't matter. You got to go out and prove it on Sunday. And I needed to see that.
I like it. I like it a lot. I appreciate that from Fletcher.
He knows how to manage these emotions.
Yeah.
And he's doing everything he can to help the team do just that. I love it.
He also knows, you know, there's a difference between winning and losing, and he got to have that parade. I mean, Ben, you played a long time in baseball. You didn't get a parade. No offense, man. I'm just saying. Look at Tony Gwynn.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Gwynn was your teammate.
Yeah.
Now, he's an all-timer, the whole deal, but he did not get to experience a parade.
He got the two World Series and didn't win.
Another guy you were close with, you were really close with Ichiro. Mm-hmm. He didn't get a parade.
Correct.
I mean, there are
so many. He had 116 wins in a season and didn't get a parade, okay?
Correct.
Exactly.
It goes to show you how hard it is.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's hard, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to win like that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man.
To get to the mountaintop, it's hard.
Yes,
but we're there.
Yeah. It's wild stuff.
And we're that good. And we're about to find out who the best team in the world is. And it feels like we are right there. Our roster is better than their roster.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Correct. Can the coaching, can our coaching match and then overcome the some of the greatest coaching that we've ever seen?
Yeah, no, it's okay. So look, the game in 5 days, Ron Jaworski with us shortly. Reminder, when you call in today, you can qualify to win either a Jalen Hurts signed jersey or a Brandon Graham signed jersey, which we'll give away on Friday, qualifying a different person each day on our show. So have a great answer to the best non-Philadelphia playoff moment of all time. We ask that because, look, we are so familiar with our own. And this is the 7-year anniversary of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, which is phenomenal. 215-592-9494. Quick reset of where we've been with the conversation today. Really two different topics primarily. The first, reaction of last night with NFL Media Night, which I think, you know, those of us today on the show have all agreed was pretty lame. And I hate to say that. If you missed it, I wish to tell you it was bells and whistles excitement. It wasn't. It was pretty stale. It was odd. It was, you know, you got Superdome, which carries about 80,000 people, but it had about 1,000 in it. So people would get introduced with, like, no applause or the tiniest little bit of applause, which was, it really felt to me like a COVID situation. So it was very odd from that standpoint. It's like we got an empty stadium.
The production values were terrible.
Production value was horrible. Ray, there's no boom mic to pick up the questions were of media members.
You have all the players that are at the podiums, and they're being asked questions, and you can't hear the question.
Yeah.
It's really, like, you're the NFL.
I'm with you, Ray.
The NFL Network. You are a multi-billion-dollar organization.
I was flummoxed by their inability to just have better coverage. They kept going back, at least the NFL Network did. I know it was on a few channels, but NFL Network kept going back to the studio. And God bless Colleen Wolf. No offense to her. She does a great job. We all know her around here. There was no reason to have her up there with Maurice Jones-Drew and Michael Robinson for extended periods of time. Like, this is the couple hours the players are talking. Can we just focus on the players, please? I thought the whole thing was so, John, bizarre.
Well, I did want to hear directly from the horse's mouth. Like, let's hear what the guys have to say, please. Yeah. Let's hear the coaches. But the impressions that you got, I was a little bit I was happy that Nick was as consistent as what I saw.
Yes, he was.
But then I saw Andy being upbeat, like ebullient. Andy being in a great mood doesn't make me feel great across the way from Andy in a great mood. You know, it does seem like he's having an awful lot of fun. And I know that team knows how to do this.
Yeah, they do.
Which is win this particular game.
So he's, what, 3-2 in the Super Bowl? Three wins.
I'm not sure.
It's two. One loss with the Chiefs, one loss with the Eagles, and 3-2. Three's got out there. Unbelievable. All right, 215-592-9494. The other main topic today is just looking inside the game. What aspect of it intrigues you the most? For me, it is by far, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid versus the number one defense in football. What a matchup. What a matchup. I mean, Mahomes, who may be the greatest player of all time, Andy, who obviously is one of the great coaches of all time and clearly one of the great schemers of all time, against the number one ranked defense, it's no phony baloney. This isn't like, you know, some prior years when the Eagles feasted on a bunch of bum quarterbacks and statistically were dominant. The Eagles' defense truly is dominant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Cooper DeJean is your fourth best player, and I think he is, I think the ranking goes Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, figure out five from there. Maybe Darius Slay. My point is, when a guy like Cooper DeJean is your fourth best defender, and you still got like guys like CJ GJ and Sweat, and the way Nolan Smith has developed.
Milton Williams.
Like, you got a lot of good players. Like, my point is, they got a heck of a defense. What a matchup it will be. All right, we'll talk to Jaws coming up in 1 minute. Ron Jaworski on this tremendous matchup. With a line that still isn't moving, KC minus a point and a half, Eagles Chiefs, Jaws with us in a minute's time. All right, let me tell you about a tremendous thing here. Obviously, wild time, Philly sports fan, we all know the deal. We're all hoping for our team to be a winner. They got a shot to be the ultimate winner on Sunday. Well, let me tell you about a squad that is always a winner. Every year. And that is the great team at MHS Lift. MHS Lift, leading the way in the forklift industry in the Delaware Valley and beyond with Andy and Brett Levin, an award-winning, nationally recognized material handling equipment company that since 1970 has been offering everything that your warehouse needs, from forklifts and equipment rentals to racking solutions and warehouse optimization. MHS Lift, they do it all, and they always put you, the customer, first. With over 100 service technicians on call, MHS Lift maintenance programs ensure your equipment runs smooth, minimizing downtime and maximizing efficiency. And they've got a simple mission: to provide the best equipment, services, and integrated solutions to keep your operation moving forward. If you are ready to elevate your business, we'll do it today with MHS Lift by calling them at 888-MHS-LIFT. You can also start with their website, mhslift.com. That is mhslift.com. All right, let's talk to one of our favorites, obviously, ever in Philadelphia sports. He played in this game one time. He has broadcast a number of games, knows a ton of people who have played in it. One of Philadelphia's best, Mr. Ron Jaworski. Good morning, Joss.
Good morning, Joe, John, and team. Man, you got me all fired up this morning, Joe. I was trying to be calm until Sunday, but you were setting up this game. I was getting really, really fired up.
Well, Joss, let's start with what you heard me saying. My God, number one defense with real talent and a tremendous defensive coordinator against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs offense. What do you make of that matchup?
Just a tremendous matchup, like you said. It's been fun watching this Eagles defense evolve this season. Quite honestly, I was probably like most people in this city, didn't see this defense coming around like it did at the end of the season. When you start off the season 2-2 and have a lot of holes, what I thought in the defense, go to the bye week and a rebound and come up with a defense like this, it's startling. It's stunning, but it's exciting.
And how much does Cooper DeJean have to do with the defense just resetting and going in this new direction, being as great as it is?
Well, Cooper DeJean certainly has a huge part of it. Quinion does. Zach Bond came out of nowhere to be one of the best defensive players in the league. The defensive line came together. The edge rushers grew as the season went on. The interior of the defensive line was pretty damn good all season long. But clearly, I thought the big thing that improved was tackling. I can remember our conversation early in the year. It was like one of those fundamentals of the game we were not good at, and that was tackling. But clearly, as the season wore on, we became a better tackling team, which I applaud the coaching staff because, you know, in today's NFL, you just can't spend a whole lot of time being physical and violent in practice. You know, it's T-shirt, shorts, and sometimes shoulder pads. And this team got better at tackling, so you have to applaud the coaching staff.
So, Jaws, within this matchup we've started with, the Eagles D versus Mahomes and Andy, who has the advantage? Now, let me say this. For everyone listening, if they don't know, in Super Bowl history, number one ranked defense within that year, 10-2. 10-2 in Super Bowls in which the number one defense plays. But Mahomes is Mahomes. Jaws, I think it will determine the game, that matchup, who has the advantage.
Yeah, probably I would agree with Joe. That's where it'll be determined. And then you got to say the Eagles defense, the way they played, you come into the game with the number one defense in the NFL. And then, you know, they pretty much, I'm not going to say shut people down, but limited offense to what the points they put on the board. And I think the key has been that Vic has designed this defense as a non-blitzing defense. And, you know, in the NFL, to me, it's always been about explosive plays. It's hard to go 12 plays, 80 yards in today's NFL. Defense are just too good. And this defense has become very good at limiting the explosive plays. And it got better as the season wore on and more disciplined as the season wore on. So I'm going to give a slight edge to the Eagles' defense in this matchup.
What do you think that Nick and his staff can, like, very simply, what can they take from Super Bowl 57 and improve upon? Just face value, what can they do better right out the gates that they can have a better chance to win this time around?
Yeah, I don't think, John, very much from that matchup. And I mean, these two teams are very, very much different.
Wow.
You always go back and look at the tape. I mean, these guys for 2 weeks have been grinding that tape. They brought their coaches in, we're already doing scouting for the college draft. They're breaking plays down. They're looking for every nuance, every edge, everything you could possibly find when you get in a game like this, especially if you played the Super Bowl 2 years ago. But, you know, I went and looked back at that game, and I didn't see anything that, like, wow, they got to do better this. They have to do better that. Yeah, I think communication, obviously, will certainly be a big thing. But when you look at this Eagles offense, there are four new starters on offense. You look at the defense, there are eight new starters on defense. Eight new starters from a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Jeez.
You talk about the NFL not for long. 12 new starters
right.
Only 2 years ago in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So it's definitely a different football team. So it's hard to say this is what they're going to do. Both coordinators are different. So, they'll glean some things off that tape study, but there's nothing there that said, oh, they got to do this better. And we know what happened late in the game, communication. You know, communication was the major issue.
Yeah. We have Chris Jones is an incredible defensive tackle that Steve Spagnuolo has at his disposal. Jalen Carter incredible defensive tackle that Vic Fangio has here to game plan with. How do these D tackles, how do you compare them?
Well, you know, the interior lines both are very, very good. And I'll go back and tell you a little story about Steve Spagnuolo, because Steve's been a friend for 25 years, and, you know, he's a local guy. His wife, Marie's from South Philly. They come to the Jersey Shore every summer, and we grab dinner once, twice during the summer. And Spag is just an awesome, awesome coach. He's won 4 Super Bowls as a defensive coordinator. And in one of our conversations, we were sitting and talking. He goes, you know, I hate teams that are committed to the run. So is this game, I'm looking at this matchup, this is what a thought that he told me, teams that are committed to the run. This is last summer.
I love that he hates that.
That's great.
I hate teams that are committed to the run. I said, oh, boy, this is a team that runs the football now.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we got into discussion because the NFL, just a year ago, was a passing league. This year, it's morphed into a running league, and teams that have run the ball better have become better and become, you know, playoff teams and Super Bowl teams, the teams that run the ball the best. So uh-huh. Clearly, you know, when you build teams in the offseason, you're building to stop the pass. And that's most teams do. So Steve was just like, I hate when teams are committed to run. You know, if we stop the run early in most games, people abandon it. But wait, we know one thing about the Eagles. They do not abandon the run.
That's so awesome. Juz, I was trick-or-treating with my daughter in the suburbs outside Philadelphia, and I went to a house, and it was Spags at the door handing candy to my daughter.
And you didn't know it was going to be his home, right?
No, I didn't know it was Spags' house. This was like 5 or 6 years ago.
That's great.
And it was there he was, Steve Spagnuolo, my old coach, handing the candy out to my daughter.
Well, he's one of the all-time great people besides being a great football coach. And you love people like that are genuine and just honest and do the right thing. That's Steve.
Jones, let's talk about Jalen Hurts, because obviously he'll be, you know, combating with Spags, so to speak, schematically and all that stuff. So you played in a Super Bowl, you lost, you never got that second chance on the stage. What do you think this opportunity means for Jalen Hurts on Sunday?
Well, it's huge. And then I, you know, the only thing that I would recommend is he, you know, be calm, you know, before the game and during the game. Because sometimes you get in this game. You know, he played well 2 years ago. He played very, very well. One mistake in the game. Other than that, I thought he played a really clean game. But you have to be careful because it's not another game. It's just not. You we can talk about it. You try to convince yourself. But you know it's not. Once you walk in that field, it's totally different. Everything in your life has been different for 2 weeks. So you have to let the game come to you. Hey, Jalen is competitive as hell. You know he's going to want to play great. I think he will play great. But, you know, sometimes when you try too hard, you make mistakes. So let the game come to you. Don't try to force the game would be my recommendation to Jalen. You know, I always said it in Super Bowl 15. My first pass was intercepted. And it was a play I'd probably seen 25 times that season. And I should have checked the ball down to Wilburn cover. I tried to force the ball into John Spagnuolo, and it was intercepted. So it wasn't because I made a mistake. I was trying too hard to make a play. Sometimes you just got to let the game come to you and not force the throw.
Jaws, the Chiefs, 17 consecutive wins in one-score games, including the playoffs. So Andy knows how to win the tight games. Patrick Mahomes knows how to win the tight games. How do you overcome that? How does this team beat a team that doesn't beat itself, just like we don't beat ourselves?
Yeah, that's why it's such a great matchup. Both teams are very disciplined in what they do. They don't give you easy points. They don't make mistakes. They're well coached. They're disciplined. They're well. I mean, all the positives you could think about the Super Bowl, these two teams are symptomatic of what you have to be to play in this game. And it's just the nature of coaching staff. Both are veteran coaching staffs. And when it's even more surprising to me with Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. The Eagles have really gotten so much better this year as the season wore on because a lot of times it takes time for a team to develop. This team has developed quickly, so that's a testament to the great coaching they were getting. Andy's staff's been together for a long, long time, you know, and they think alike. Andy's a terrific football coach. I mean, it boggles my mind to think that they're going for their third straight Super Bowl championship. There are still teams in this league that haven't been to one, let alone won one. You know, so you think how difficult it is, and his team is on that roll right now. You know, it is a testament to Andy and his coaching staff. And by the way, You know, I always talk about the Eagles organization with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, what a fantastic job they have done. You know, I did spend 1 year in Kansas City in 1989 playing for, that time, Lamar Hunt, but the Hunt family still runs the team. They are first-class people. They run and do things the right way. So it's not a surprise to me that two of the best well-organized teams, the best two organizations, are in the Super Bowl, Kansas City and Philadelphia.
Yeah, well said. All right, Jaws, let's get you on the record. Ron Jaworski's Super Bowl 59 prediction.
The Philadelphia Eagles 24, the Kansas City Chiefs 19.
I love it, Joss. I love it. Sounds like a nail biter, though.
Voice Vince Lombardi trophy.
I love it. Joss, stay well, man. Thanks for everything, obviously, leading up to the game. We'll talk to you next week. And is Saquon the MVP or Jalen?
Saquon.
Yeah, seems most likely. Joss, stay well, bud. Enjoy it. Have a blast. You're going to the game, right?
I'm heading down tomorrow.
Good man. Jaws, have a great time. Thanks, Jaws.
All right. Love you guys.
You too, man. Thanks, there he is, Jaws. Ron Jaworski. It's got to be a little weird for him going to New Orleans knowing that's where he lost Super Bowl. It's gotta
Absolutely.
It's got to be a little tough.
Yeah.
A little tough. A lot of memorable
but
Philadelphia
things.
But a
chance for vindication and revenge for him.
You're not going to get over easily.
Yeah.
I don't care how long
ever.
Ago.
I'm with you, man.
It doesn't ever go away.
It's the same stadium he walked in and walked out. And,
correct.
Like, you know, it's where Villanova, by the way, lost in the Final Four. A lot of notable things have happened down there, mm-hmm. obviously.
You can rein
winning
it in right
here,
now, buddy.
What?
You can rein it in with the losses down in New Orleans.
That's where the Eagles won in 92, you know. They won a playoff game first time forever.
There we go. See,
yeah, you like
job.
That one?
That's
the
much
Eagles winning this year will make Jaws feel much, much better.
I think so, too, man. Totally with you. Yeah. I do love and so appreciate the way he wears his heart on his sleeve. He cried a lot. I mean, I saw various interviews when he cried after the Eagles won the Super Bowl 7 years ago. Speaking of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl 7 years ago, Ben Davis, 7 years ago today.
Today.
So coming up in about 2 minutes, we are going to give you the montage of montages. How it sounded 7 years ago today.
Are you going to try and make Ben Davis cry?
I don't try. You
it's
know?
Not going to happen.
I don't think
Ben.
It's going to happen.
No,
with Ben.
I don't either.
Nope. Yeah,
I don't either.
That's going to happen.
I don't either. But we will relive because obviously after this we're going to be all focused on Super Bowl 59, which we pretty much are anyway. But we shouldn't let a moment like this go by without, you know, hoisting up that Lombardi, so to speak, one more time from 52. And having some fun with that.
One of the great days of all of our lives. It's rare that you can say that millions of people have the same one of the great days of their life. You
know? No question. All right, so we'll get to that audio as Merrill and Mike called it a couple years back. We'll hit that shortly. And by the way, no Brandon Graham today.
Is he busy?
We forgive him, right?
Yeah.
Does he have
something going on right now? Or you know, can't come in? You know?
So BG down there,
so
obviously.
Good in shoulder pads. Did you see? I mean, they're small shoulder pads.
Well, don't forget, Joe did ask him if he modeled, so that does make sense.
Yeah. Wow. It's just so good to see him back out there and hitting. He had the pads on when they had the pads
he's
on.
He's clearly playing.
He's ready to go.
Yeah, he's playing.
Yeah.
He's playing in the game.
I feel great about that.
So BG will talk to, you know, I would
the
imagine,
lift that
sometime
that's
next week.
That's going to provide for the defense. You're going to be able to tell a difference.
I agree. I want him out there, and he's going to be out there. All right. So the montage of Super Bowl 52 shortly. Bryce right now in Wilmington. Bryce, good morning.
Yo, guys. How are you doing today?
Amazingly. I'm just thinking about late in this game, Brandon Graham coming off, coming into the game to play some D tackle, Tom Brady.
If he does that again,
Tom Brady talking about Brandon Graham coming into the game at D tackle in a critical passing situation. I mean, just think how crazy that could get.
Well, Bryce, imagine if he has another massive strip sack in the fourth quarter, and this
time Tom Brady calling the game,
and it's Mahomes. That would break my brain.
And he points up to the booth.
Exactly right.
Oh yeah.
And then Derek Barnett comes out of wherever he is to recover the ball.
Texans.
And then Merrill's like, Barnett.
He's playing well
Barnett!
For the Texans, by the way.
He is
really well making plays all over the place.
He ain't playing anymore, John.
No, yeah,
very true.
Not here. All right, Bryce, go ahead, pal. What do you got?
So I want to just make a quick point to start the call. I want to thank you guys for putting me on to Severance. That show is unbelievable.
Nice. Welcome.
Very good.
I've watched the whole – I'm pretty much caught up, and I've watched it for like 3 days.
Jeez.
I've just been binge watching it.
You're in your own world. That's a weird world to be lost in. That's exciting.
Gets in – oh, man, that was a big crack.
Hey now.
Gets in your brain.
He's
but
the two. I mean
– tweenage
what was that
Joe.
Joe.
Ben, why do I – why does it happen?
There's a lot of whys, I think, that need to be asked.
Yeah, but that one's really...
You're not grown up yet, John.
No. One day.
God,
one day,
I feel shame.
You're a tween.
Bryce, I feel such shame with all this.
One day it'll happen for him, right, John?
I feel like I've definitely heard you say worse things on this show than your voice crack.
Yeah, but, you know, I just don't feel good after it happens. All right, give me an Eagles point, Bryce. Go
your
ahead.
Your confidence is sagging?
Is. Bail me out of this, Bryce.
So, on the topic of what we're kind of excited to see on Sunday, I'm really excited to see Jalen Hurts prove a lot of people wrong, because all I keep hearing is the Chiefs aren't going to let him run the ball. The Chiefs aren't going to let him run the ball. And I'm fine with that. I think Jalen Hurts can throw the ball when he needs to. He showed it in the Super Bowl last time, and I wouldn't be surprised if he came out and just lit it up on Sunday. And that's really what I want to see.
I'd be a little surprised if he lights it up, because I do think they'll run it a lot. But, you know,
I think they're going to throw it. I don't, you know, because they've got both with him and Saquon, you know, the ability to run.
Yeah.
But then you do a change. I just sense something different from Jalen.
Well, he played his best game of the year was last game. Yeah. There's no question. Bryce, give me an answer for a non-Philadelphia exceptional playoff moment.
So I'm going to go with maybe it might go down as one of the dumbest plays in Super Bowl history, but when Malcolm Butler intercepted the ball at the goal line.
Listen, from their standpoint, meaning New England, there's no question. I mean, the ball was at the one, and it was an interception. It's a notable answer for sure.
And he is a player that we think fondly of for Bill Belichick benching him.
We still don't know what the heck happened.
Thank you.
All right, so we do know the Eagles won the Super Bowl. We do know it was one of the days of our lives. Let's recount it. It was 7 years ago today, February the 4th, 2018, when the Eagles, they finally did it. Meryl and Mike, of course, were on the call. Let's listen one more time here to a glorious day in our life. We're gonna need a montage.
Ooh, it takes a montage. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Super Bowl 52. Foles fakes. He's back. He steps up. He is going deep. And it is caught by Alshon Jeffrey for a touchdown.
Oh, what a great catch by Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey, a magnificent. He comes right back to Blunt. Blunt across the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5. The train is in the end zone.
Unbelievable blocking. Great play call.
He knew he was going to be aggressive. He told us that he was going to stay aggressive. He loves us.
Moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick Foles.
It's a touchdown by Nick Foles. And it's a key Foles to receive a touchdown. Oh, get one. Draper.
This play call has a chance to be remembered as one of the all-time greats.
And that's something we've been working on, and Doug and I were talking. I was like, let's just run it.
And Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator for New England, he's over there scratching his beard.
He is going deep, and touchdown!
It is.
It is touchdown! A 22-yard touchdown to Clement.
This is crazy. I've been dreaming about this moment. Now I can see what it feels like.
Looks, fires out in the flat, running with the football, and coming up close to another first down is Aguilar. And he picks it up. Aguilar tonight has stepped up bigger than ever. Back goes Foles. Fires. Slant. Touchdown! Zach Ertz. He caught it. He bobbled it. He never let it drop. And he finished with the football.
If they would have overturned that, I don't know what would happen to the city of Philadelphia. So glad they didn't overturn it.
Boy, if the Eagles could come up with their one turnover of the game right here, that would be ceiling. Brady back again. He steps up. He's hit and falls forward.
He fumbled.
And he fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. It is recovered by Barnett.
Brandon Graham rips the football out of the hands of Tom Brady.
With 2:09 remaining to be played.
And boy, oh boy.
Hombre, le cayó la bola. Los Eagles la tienen. Los Eagles tienen la bola. And fumble by Brady. Brady, le cayó.
Brandon Graham, Ricky, Brandon Graham.
I said we needed a play. If we got one more opportunity, we're going to give everything we got. And I just so happened to get there.
Here is a 46-yarder to give the Eagles an 8-point lead. And the kick is...
The biggest kick in Jake Elliott's life, right there.
9 seconds left. Eagles by 8. Brady, he steps up. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone. And it is batted around. And incomplete. And the game is over. Super Bowl champions! Eagles fans everywhere!
you.
If there's a word called everything, that's what it means to Eagles fans everywhere.
Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, the GOAT, a legend. Etch his name in stone.
It's not about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. That's been this team all year.
And they're bringing back the Lombardi Trophy to Philadelphia. Broad Street getting ready. We are having a parade.
But that was 7 years ago today. I mean, it's just, it's an all-timer. I mean, you guys know the deal. It just freaking fires. I feel like electricity just went. Ben, I mean, you hear that.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Yeah. I remember.
My God.
I remember sitting there with my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, our whole family, and he had rented out a hall. And I mean, the tears everywhere. Yeah. And it was such a big moment. For my brother-in-law and my niece, it was just like, it was just one of those moments where you'll just remember where you were and remember how great it felt to be in that position.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that has struck me in the aftermath, meaning the last 7 years, having watched it probably 5 to 7 times, is on the rewatch, how, I almost cursed, how damn close it was at the end of the game, and how much it was a nail biter. And I say that to say this: I think Sunday coming up will be too.
Well, they were. I will be
surprised if either team wins this game.
We remember the drive and the fourth down, all that. I don't think we remember they were still losing with like 2.5 minutes left in the game. Like they scored that touchdown, that final Earth.
No, about 5 minutes left.
No, it was a little less than that.
Maybe you're right.
I was watching yesterday. Barely any time. It's shocking how little time there is.
No, you're right, because Brady didn't go far when Barnett.
Yeah,
BG
it was like almost
him.
It was second down, right? Yeah. Almost right away.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, it was. And the Jake Elliott field goal was so big because if he misses it, Brady gets the ball near midfield.
Down five, and other than the strip sack, they were moving the entire second half.
That was so big.
Bringing up the Jake Elliott thing in light of, man, it sent a jolt through me just now. Like, just like that whole compilation.
Yep.
Yeah, the hairs were all standing up on edge on the back of my neck. But then when you said that about Jake Elliott, it was, oh my gosh, I know this game's going to be tight. I know this game is neck and neck. It's a point here, a point there. Jake Elliott.
Yeah, and it worries me a lot. Mm. It worries me a lot. There's no sugarcoating it.
The conditions will be better for him. I mean, it's going to be indoors, no wind.
It's true. He has kicked outside. It's a really good point.
That's a good point. For a kicker, it's as good as it gets.
Exactly.
But, Ben, it might be as simple as being in his head.
Well, that's the problem. It is in his head, too.
It's like a 4-foot putt.
So, yeah, these are great conditions, but right now he has very little confidence.
Yeah.
And Nick Sirianni should have very little confidence in his ability to make a kick for us if we need those points. If this thing is 45 yards or further out, I don't have faith that he'll consistently make it.
I don't either. I just don't.
So I'm going for it on fourth and whatever it is, fourth and seven.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like the field position advantage is yours. You know, it is likely going to be yours going into a game if you feel like you're going to have to be going for it.
I don't know how you give the ball back to Mahomes. I know if he misses it, he's going to get it anyway. But just at least have that opportunity. He just can't.
It's tough.
I don't know.
Here's the good
that compilation though. Yeah. If you have as good as the Eagles' defense is, I think they're going to have to outscore Mahomes. That's the esteem that I have for him.
And that's pretty much what came down to the Bills game. Bills Chiefs game was pretty high scoring, and the Chiefs had slightly more.
I just think that's what's going to have to, at the end of the day, that's what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to score more points than Mahomes puts up.
Two of the last three Super Bowls are two of the three highest scoring Super Bowls of all time. Now, if you go, there's second, the 41-33 is the second most amount of points in a Super Bowl, and 38-35 is the third most amount of points in a Super Bowl.
Wow.
So, in recent history, the Eagles have had to put up points.
All right, let's get some calls going here. 215-592-9494. Coming up shortly, what both quarterbacks said last night, Jalen and Patrick Mahomes standing next to each other at that NFL event. Roger Goodell and the referees, Nick Sirianni with us from last week, talking about his relationship with Andy Reid. That's all up ahead in just the next couple of minutes. If you're just waking up, of course, NFL media had their chance last night with the event. I thought it was, for the most part, pretty lame. Hate to say that, but I'm just being honest with you. I thought it was very flat as an event goes. But we're, playing some of the better pieces of audio from it. And then obviously looking ahead to Sunday and talking about many of the very intriguing matchups within the game. Let's talk to Alex. Alex, good morning.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hi, Alex.
Hey, what's up, Ben?
How we doing?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, yeah, you guys talking about that Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl.
Yep.
So many memories just from that last drive alone. I remember it got to like 4th and 10,
yep,
and Brady somehow pulls something out of thin air. You thought it was over right there.
You did.
And
totally did.
That's right. The Eagles had about 3 different plays, I believe, in the game where if they had done a certain something, the game would be over. Like before Jake Elliott's field goal, if the Eagles had converted a 3rd down, game's over. But they didn't, and then they had to kick the field goal. There were a couple of those instances, which I got to tell you, in hindsight, while we were rooting in the moment for the game to be sealed earlier, in hindsight, it made it so cool.
Thrilling.
Thrilling beyond belief that it came down to a Hail Mary, batted up and down and around and up and down.
And the end,
it was like, Ronald Darby.
It's still scary. Like, I watch it, and I'm like, how did no one get to that? It's like hanging in the air.
How does that happen?
I know. Ronald freaking Darby, man.
It happens.
And he was the worst.
Multiple games on the
Yeah, he was the worst Eagle.
I know, he was the worst Eagle by far. And I know, John,
teams have lost multiple games on that play.
It's brutal.
And it's always practiced, and every team talks about it, and every defense knows, hey, you got to get that thing. You got to bat it down.
Yeah.
Yet it always pops up.
Jenkins has said that they knew exactly what they were supposed to do.
Yep.
And none of them did it.
Wow.
On that, I remember. I think we either talked to him or he was interviewed somewhere, and he just said they were told, they knew, they practiced it, and I think sheer panic.
Sure.
It.
Well, here's the other crazy thing: when that happened, the next thing that every one of us did, whether you're in the stadium or watching on TV, try to find the clock.
Yep. Yep.
Is it at 0 or is it at 1?
Well, you can see the players when it happens on the field. Like, all those defensive backs are, like, looking around. They're not celebrating at first. They look around, and then they start celebrating.
Totally. All right, Alex, go ahead, pal. What else you got?
Yeah, I mean, again, speaking of Ronald Darby, I mean, he almost picks that off and takes it back to the house to really
a few plays before.
A few plays
right.
before
yeah.
that. Yes, and I thought of Asante Samuel because that happened to him in the Giants game in 07.
Yep, exactly.
If Asante Samuel catches an interception he should have, Giants don't win that Super Bowl.
That was an even easier
Asante
interception.
No,
he's
not my guy.
The Asante one was Asante. Like in hit. Like, that was unbelievable.
That was it. The game would be over, and he dropped the ball. All right, Alex, give me a great answer. You have a shot to win either the Jalen Hurts jersey or the Brandon Graham jersey. Obviously, we know the Philadelphia great playoff moments. What's the best, all four sports, non-Philly playoff moment ever?
I'm going with Joe Namath and the guarantee for Super Bowl III.
That could win. I mean, that's the actual guarantee, sitting poolside. That's a pretty damn big answer. Didn't happen in a game.